In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And we do this broadcast today in a little church called Our Lady of Grace in Maricopa, Arizona. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Joseph. The scripture does not tell us very much about St. Joseph, but it tells us everything about him. It says that Joseph was a just man. In the scripture, justice depends upon our faith, which means Joseph was a man who lived by faith. He was a just man, and one cannot be just without faith. So Joseph was a man of God, a man who had great faith. Faith enough to take Mary into his house, and Mary was pregnant. And we know that the scripture tells us that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, the man of faith, took Mary into his house. Now, there are many people to tell us that Jesus had brothers and sisters, because the scripture does say Jesus had brothers and sisters. But we need to know what the brothers and sisters were for Jesus. When you go to the Middle East, the people in your home, in your clan, are your brothers and sisters. In other words, brothers and sisters in Nazareth, still, Muslims and Jews, they call each other brothers and sisters. They have different religions. They're still brothers and sisters. My brother, my sister, that's what they say. But we have this beautiful account of Jesus at 12 years old. And being at 12 years old, he goes up to Jerusalem. And the scripture tells us he went up with Mary and Joseph. Where are his brothers and sisters? Know what I'm saying? There's no brothers and sisters. Jesus went up with Mary and Joseph. Where are his brothers and sisters? Another point which is very interesting about the brothers and sisters of Jesus would be on the cross. When Jesus gives his mother to John, we know that. You never give your mother to anyone but the next oldest child in Jewish religion. There was no next oldest child. You cannot give the child to somebody, even John. Only the next eldest child is the one that gets mama. That's exactly how the Jews believed. So therefore, we see Jesus had no brothers and sisters, but many brothers and sisters, even us, through the blood that he shed on the cross. When we say that Joseph was a just man, we know that he operated in faith. The scripture tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is foundational. Biblical faith is foundational. When we talk about biblical faith, it means that we completely trust, place our trust in Jesus, place our trust in God. You see, faith always gives returns. When we have faith and we trust the Lord, not only for our salvation, but every single day, faith has its own rewards. God does things in people's lives who have faith that he doesn't do in other people's lives. Biblical faith depends completely on the cross. Biblical faith depends completely on Jesus. Biblical faith depends completely on what God has done for us. That's biblical faith. Biblical faith entrusts one's whole life unto Jesus Christ. Not my hour at church, not my half hour in the morning, but my life. I live no longer I, St. Paul said, but Christ lives in me. Biblical faith surrenders unto Jesus. Biblical faith sees returns. Because when someone has faith, real faith, that puts one's life on the line, They begin to see things that other people don't see. God works powerfully in their lives. You never give to the Lord that he doesn't give you back a hundredfold. You never give to the Lord that he doesn't give you back a hundredfold. When a man walks by faith, that man will be rewarded. When a woman walks by faith, that woman will be rewarded. The old story goes about the man who lived next to this beautiful black woman, great faith of the black woman. The man was an atheist. And the story goes like this. She would get up every morning and she would get out on the porch and she would be praising God. And she'd say, "Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you have provided for me today. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided for my children. I give you praise and glory." She'd do this every day. The guy next door looked at it and thought she was absolutely nuts. One day she gets out in front of her porch and says, "I thank you, Lord, that you provided unto now. But I thank you, Lord, we got no food, but I'm dependent on you, Lord, because you're my master and you're my source. I don't worry, I trust you, Lord." Next day, there was all these groceries in front of her house. And so she gets up and says, "Oh, Lord, you are a provider. I thank you, Lord, for providing for me and my kids." And the guy next door said, "It wasn't the Lord. It was the atheist next door." The woman said, "I thank you, Lord, that you could even use the devil." I thank you, Lord, that you can even use the devil. I had a friend named Sister Lorette. Sister Lorette was not raised a Catholic. She became a Dominican sister. Sister Lorette's mother had more faith than anybody. She was not a Catholic. She would do this every morning. She would get all the boys up and all the girls up, and she had no husband. I guess he died. And she would praise God for the food they had. Well, one day, there was no food. This is a real true story. One day, there was no food. And so she's got them all around the table. And she says, "Now let us bow our heads in thanksgiving." Now the elder boys, or the oldest boys, are very, very smart. And they're going, "Thanksgiving for what? We're going to school hungry." She poked them. She said, "Lord has provided for us every single day. Let us thank God for his provision." And so they bowed their heads, you know, reluctantly. And she said, "Lord, I thank you that you have always provided, and I know you will provide again." With that, there was a noise in the back, and the mother said, "Go see who's at the door." And there was a loaf of bread. Lorette says, "I will never forget that. My mother's faith, a loaf of bread," and we all ate that day. The greatest thing is when I did Lorette's 25th anniversary as a sister, there was this beautiful picture of Dominic and all of his brothers. And Dominic and all of his brothers were all at table, and there was nothing to eat. And they prayed to the Lord that he would supply. And what you see in the mural were angels of God coming to feed Dominic's brothers. And I thought this to myself and preached this. Lorette's mother was a Dominican way before Lorette was a Catholic. She had the same faith of Dominic. That God provided. That God provided for her needs. That there was a loaf of bread. To this day, they do not know who left that bread. But it was the provision of God, just as it was the provision of God with Dominic. That's what faith does. Joseph is the man of faith. Joseph is a visionary. He has dreams. And he follows the dream. Take Mary and the baby and leave. Go to Egypt, for this baby's life is at stake. Joseph listens. Joseph, again, is the man of faith. We know Joseph was alive when Jesus was 12 years old. We know that because they went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Isn't it interesting that Jesus got lost? Could it be that Mary and Joseph were careless? If you heard the reading carefully, you would have heard them say, the boy Jesus. Jesus had not yet made his bar mitzvah. Therefore, when he traveled in caravan, he could be with either the men or the women. He had not yet made his bar mitzvah. So what do we see? Joseph thinks he's with Mary. Mary thinks he's with Joseph because he's still a boy. He's not of age. That's how they lost him. The boy Jesus. He had not gone through the experience of being bar mitzvah at this point. It was not carelessness. It was the will of God. Notice that Jesus is not the quiz kid. He listens first. That's what it says. Jesus listened to them and then asked questions. That's wonderful. He's not this bright boy that's going to stand up and tell everybody how smart I am. He listens. And yet the scripture tells us, morning by morning he opened my ear, and I did not rebel. Morning by morning, Jesus would listen to his Father, the Lord opening his ear, and I did not rebel. You read it in the 50th chapter of Isaiah. When we think of Joseph, we think of faith. We think of biblical faith that moves forward when there seems to be no bread in the house, where there seems to be nothing left. He takes Mary, he takes the child, and he will be their protector. This Joseph is hardly heard about, yet he is the patron of the universal church. This Joseph is the man of God, the man of faith, the one who walked by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What we're seeing in these evenings is that God is bolstering our faith through the Word of God. Why? Because if you want to increase your faith, the Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You do not pray to get your faith increased. You begin to read the Word of God out loud. You begin to hear God's Word and believe what it says. Faith does not come by praying for faith. Faith comes by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. That's how faith is built up. By being formed by the Word of God. By hearing God's Word. By letting God's Word seep into our hearts. That's what we've seen in the last three nights. How we've seen people get healed and how people get blessed and things that have been troubling them absolutely gone. There was a man with tinnitus last night. You know what tinnitus is? In your ears you hear this terrible noise and it never stops. You wake up with it. You go to bed with it. As I was preaching, the noise started to cease. Now you would think it would get louder because I'm not the softest person in the whole world. When I preach, you would think the noise would get louder. Then we prayed a couple of times, and there was no noise. Let me tell you, that's a great miracle. If someone's hearing noises in their ears called tinnitus, that's a terrible thing, that you go to bed with noises and you wake up with noises. But because there's a degree of faith, God stretched out his hand to heal that man through Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. We have this beautiful young boy. He was born with an optic nerve, and he's blind. He can only see fingers. Well, we've been praying with him the last two nights, and his vision has improved. It is not perfect. I would be a liar to tell you that he has 20/20 vision, but he could stand far away and see that I have my hand up. So we're going to keep on praying, believing that God's going to open his eye. He was born with the optic nerve that was sick, that he can't see in one eye. But where there's a degree of faith, God opens eyes. God opens ears. Jesus heals the sick. It's real. It should be the norm of our life that we don't have to go to Lourdes, and we don't have to go to Medjugorje, and we don't have to go to Fatima. We've got it right here. We've got Calvary right here. We've got the empty tomb right here. With a degree of faith, things begin to happen. I'll tell you the definition of faith. Listen to what it says in the Bible from Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When something has substance, it has substance. This chair has substance. This air has no substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Our faith is not in our faith. It's in the marvel of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. It's in the marvel of Jesus Christ who gave his life for us, who bled and died, and who was buried and rose from the dead and sends his spirit as he ascended into heaven. Our faith has substance. It's not a whiskey air. It's substantial, like me. I have a lot of substance. I hope that I have less substance at the end of the year. But faith has substance. The death and love of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the power of his death and resurrection. You see, when people start to place their faith in the Lord, they start to see things that other people don't see. They start to hear things that other people don't hear. I have a sister, her name is Sister Vincentine. And once these priests that were in her parish would say, "Why do all these things happen to you, and they don't happen to us?" And she said very nicely, "Because I and my sister, we spend hours before the Blessed Sacrament. We spend hours in worship, in quiet, with Jesus Christ. That's why things happen to us. Do you spend hours? Are you there before the presence of God? Things happen when you sit before the Lord. Why? Because that's faith. I don't see Jesus when I'm before the Eucharist. Sometimes I feel like I'm out in left field. Sometimes I feel I'm out in Fenway Park and balls are going over my head and the only thing I think about is what's going to happen tomorrow. And I kind of bring myself back because I've got the what? I've got the ability of keeping my eyes, you know, fixed on Jesus in such a way when I pray that it's like a fly. But you know what? When you're there, God rewards it. God rewards it. God rewards it. Being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, God rewards it. He rewards it. You know, I say it this way. I can go to the pool today, and I could just be out in the pool, and you know what? I can get a tan no matter what I'm doing. And you know, being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the rays that come from the Eucharist, we can get something that happens in our interior, even though we don't feel it, because the Eucharist is brighter than 10,000 suns, because the Eucharist is Jesus Christ himself, because the Lord has just given us his body and blood, soul and divinity at this Eucharist, at this Mass. But it takes faith to sit before the Lord, especially if you've got the contemplation of a fly like myself. But you know what? You do the best you can. You do the best you can. God is a rewarder of faith to those who believe in him, to those who stake their life in him. He's a rewarder of faith. I had a woman last night that since she had her children, and they weren't natural, they were done by C-section. She's had pain in her stomach. Her pain's completely healed. We had people last night, you know, whose necks giving them trouble and their arms giving them trouble, and the Lord released them last night. People with headaches, that the Lord took away their headaches last night. You know, only God knows about the cancer people we've prayed with, because, you know, we haven't got any news back yet. But you know what? We keep on believing that this is what Jesus wants, because Jesus did not just go and preach. Jesus preached the word, and after he preached the word, faith was engendered within the people. And then he did his healing, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word by the word of God. You know, one time it said that Jesus saw the crowd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And you know what it says after? Like sheep without a shepherd. You know, they go in every place. They're not in groups. They look like they're going to get lost. He began to preach to them at length. Like, what can a 5-minute homily do when we're facing hell in the world, in all reality? What can a 5-minute homily? I went to a priest dinner one night, and I had preached that night on a Saturday for 45 minutes, okay? I hear these priests saying, well, you know, here I am. I preach for 10 minutes, but I tell 2 jokes in 10 minutes. I said, you don't say. I have no time to tell jokes at Mass, okay? Unless those jokes are going to give us faith. Another one said, I preach for 8 minutes, and I say 1 joke. What do they think they are, George Allen and Gracie Allen? They think they're Bob Hope? Like, come on! There's a time for jokes. It's not at the altar. In other words, I speak for 5 minutes. They looked at me and said, Father, how long do you speak? I said, tonight it was 45 minutes. There was not a sound in the place. You've got to be kidding. Who's ever going to listen to you for 45 minutes? I said, I had complete attention. I know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know that if I don't preach, there's not going to be faith engendered. I know to proclaim Jesus and to tell what Jesus is doing in our midst, that brings up our faith level, that when we pray with people, things begin to happen. It's real. It's all real. I'll tell you how real it is. You know what today is? Feast of St. Joseph, 19th of March. Let me tell you this. Today, the swallows returned to Capistrano. Oh, they all went back to California. California, the swallows turned back to Capistrano. We should be as bright as they are. They get there every 19th of March, even on leap year, and that's something. For those who have faith, we're going to be like the swallows when we die. We're not going to Capistrano. We're going right to Jesus. For those who have biblical faith, oh, my Lord, we're going to fly away. You know that song? I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, don't you cry. I'll fly away. That's true. People with biblical faith will fly away. Not to Capistrano, honey, but to Jesus where they belong. Oh my, that's why faith is so important, not only when we die, but as we live, because faithful people light fires that bring new life to the church, and if we ever needed new life, we need it today. New life in the Holy Spirit, new life in the power of God, new life that people's lives get changed. New life, new life, new life. We need new life. Yes, at Easter we'll be talking about new life, but how many people's lives are going to be changed? It's all about a changed life. The scripture says anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Oh, it has to do with new life. New life, people's lives getting changed. People's lives getting changed. I told them last night there was a man that called my friend Eleanor and that he had cancer, and they were going to come to the rectory, and they were late. I said, I can't see them in the rectory. I have Mass. come to the sacristy. So the two brothers came to the sacristy. I just put my hands on the guy who had cancer. He just got a report that the tumor has shrunk amazingly. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. You know, I don't think I gave it too much time. I had to celebrate Mass. Did the best I could. My Lord, that's what faith does. See, I can't fix people. I can't even fix myself, to tell you the truth. That's why I need salvation. I need Jesus. I can't fix myself. But I can throw out the lifeline to anybody who wants it. And the lifeline is Jesus. And we've just received him today as Eucharist. We've just received him today, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We've just said, Lord, I am unworthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. So we're going to pray now for all the people on the radio and all the people that listen to me now. Wherever there is pain, I want you to put your hand there. I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you thinking. I don't want you trying. I just ask you to put your hand there. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, all this back pain leaves now in Jesus' name. I call those things to be now that are not as if they are, and by grace they are. All this pain in the back and in the arms and in the legs and in the knees and in the hips, be healed by the blood of Jesus now. In the holy and awesome name of Jesus, be set free. Be set free in your heart. Cholesterol goes down. All the plaque gets absorbed by the blood of Jesus now.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.